We're so glad you're here. My name is Ben Dew. I'm our college and campus pastor, and we're so happy to have you. And if you're a college student, welcome home. If you're not a college student, welcome home. You have to help us keep the house clean. Thank you, baby. Wow, let's give my wife a great hand. All righty. Well, today we're going to start a brand new series on confident. The word is confident. And if you're walking through life, if you're a believer, if you've grown up in church, if you've never been to church, if this is your first time, a lot of the world, we need to find something to be confident in. And today we're going to talk about confident identity. Confident identity. And guys, we had a crazy week last week. It was the first week of school, and we had over 25 of our student leaders just faithfully serve and go to sign-ups, invite their friends, and we had over 100 college students at ENC. That's unbelievable. So let's give them a round of applause, and we're so excited. And also, at this point, that production, that was so good, and actually, there was one person who put in a lot of time, has been planning this for months, and choreographed, and directed, and so we want to give a special thank you to my little sister, Abigail Dew, and the cast got you something, so there you go. Thank you for being a great director and a great campus missionary. Okay. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for everybody in this room. Lord, thank you that we get to come and learn about you, to learn from your word. Father, I pray that you would use me to speak your truth. And Lord, I pray that we would leave here not the same, with a greater understanding of identity, our identity in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I personally believe that one of the biggest battles facing every single human being today is the battle for identity. And whether you're a freshman and this is your first week on campus, or whether you have kids, or whether you're running a business, or whether you're just working, or whether even you're retired, or whatever stage of life that you're in, the battle for identity does not stop when you walk into a church. It does not stop when you get the job that you want. It does not stop when you get married. And I believe the whole world is trying to force and push identity upon you. And did you know that every culture, even if that's church culture, if that's campus culture, family culture, Western culture, American culture, every culture is trying to push an identity upon you. And there's so many identities coming out there, and if we're not careful, we can put our faith and trust in an identity that doesn't ultimately lead to confidence. And so today, I want to break down some of the identities that are being sold to you and look at the identity that Jesus offers that radically changed my life. And this may not apply to you, but hopefully it does. And this week I was thinking, and I've looked back at some of my life, and it's not been super long. It's been longer than some, shorter than others. But most things that I've done in life, I've done to try to get someone's approval, to try to earn some sort of status, to build some sort of identity. Good. Most things in my life. A lot of times the clothes I pick out, the music I listen to, the way I cut my hair, the way I talk to people, the degree you may choose in college, the job you have, a lot of it is an attempt, a human attempt, to get some sort of identity that promises happiness, right? Whether for me, playing college football, that was a big plan of mine that, you know what, I don't really know what my identity is as a high school student, and I need something to hold on to, so I'm going to go play football. And I ended up giving away my childhood identity, and I started acting like all of the other football players. And I remember I started listening to music I really didn't like, wearing clothes I didn't really like, talking. And I was like, who is talking right now? I don't even recognize myself. Has anyone ever done that where you've said some words, you're like, whoa, that is not me. You know, like I'm such a fraud right now. But I remember when I went to University of Hawaii and I was a freshman on the team. You know, I was 18, 19 years old on the football team, and there's 120 guys. And I remember seeing the big senior offensive lineman walk in. And these guys were big and jacked and just confident. I was like, wow, I want to be like them. And so what I decided to do is I decided I need to get rid of what I think my identity is, and I need to chase whatever identity they have, and that will make me confident. And I think we do this a lot of times, right? And even if you're picking a degree, I'm going to speak to our students now. Let's say you've from a little age, you want to be something noble like a doctor, right? You want to be a physician. That's great. And you say, you know, I really want to help people. My question to you is, do you really want to help people? Or do you want the status and the identity and the confidence that comes from having other people know that you help people, right? Or if you're a pastor, right, like myself, I gotta look in the mirror and say, am I really doing this because I have a confident identity in who Jesus made me to be, or am I doing this so we can check a box, have 100, 200, 300 students, and people think, wow, Ben's doing a great job. Why am I really doing this? Am I putting confidence in who God made me to be, or certain things that I've been chasing and putting my identity in? So this message is not just for people who are not saved. This is for people who are saved, because I have to battle this every single day. And one of the things I most admire in people, I think we all do when we see it, is true confidence. When you see someone that's really confident, there's something about them like, wow, I would follow that person. Right, I'm not talking about cockiness or being a jerk, right? It was crazy. In high school and college, I always wondered, why do all the jerks get all the girls? Has anyone ever thought that? Like, why do all the jerks get all the girls? And at 31, I realized it's not because they were jerks that got the girls. It's because they were honest enough to say, you know what? I'm selfish. I'm just not going to hide it. Where everyone else was selfish, but they were trying to hide it, trying to be a nice guy. But they had a confidence that this is me. I'm selfish. Deal with it. And people were attracted to the confidence, right? And so God wants us to be confident. And it's funny. I tell a lot of the young guys I disciple, you know, when they're getting ready for, you know, maybe dating or looking for a potential wife, I say, girls, women, the most attractive thing to a woman is money. No, confidence. No, it's confidence. In fact, the reason I think people like money or like status or like high-profile jobs is because you can put your confidence in money a little bit. And when you get a little money, you start acting a little more confident. I think people like that, but people really want confidence. And that's why you'll find guys doing big curls in the gym, getting big cars, and trying to get a big church, because they want the things that promise confidence without actually going to the source and understanding what is true confidence. Page number 2. And I want you to ask yourself real quick, how would your life be better if you had true confidence? How would your life be if you had confident identity? You knew who you were, it didn't change, and you liked who you were. How would your life be different, right? Would you start a business? That one that you know you probably should start, but you're too scared to? Would you ask a girl or a guy out? Would you change your major? Would you change your major from what your parents want you to do to what God's called you to do? Would you tell your friends about Jesus? Would you learn a new instrument? Would you finally open up in small group about that addiction that you've been hiding, but you really have? If you were truly confident, how would you really be? And this is why it's the battlefield, because confident people change the world. And confident Christians are the most attractive people on earth. And this is why girls and guys are attracted to confidence, is because confident people do what they're supposed to do when they're supposed to do it, and they know who they are. And that's what the world needs. That's what the world needs. Another question. Do you think God wants you to be confident in your identity. Now think about it. Do you think God really wants you to be confident, or do you think God wants you to be ashamed, embarrassed, shy, insecure, depressed, comparing? What do you think? Think about it. So I have to look at myself and ask, if God doesn't want me to be this way, why am I still battling with these issues? So let's define identity real quick. The identity is at least two things. There's probably a better definition, but it's at least two things. One is identity is something that is a part of you. It defines you, but it does not change based on circumstances. That's true identity, okay? If you flip-flop and change and you're one way Saturday night, aka last night, and then you just slip into church today because you got a flyer, okay, that's not really identity, right? A lot of us are like James Bond, espionage spies. We're like this way with one group, this way with another, and you don't really know who you truly are. That was me in college, right? Sunday morning, all they knew is there's a pastor's son, and he's smiling, and he's nice. He knows a couple Bible verses. But Saturday night, Friday night, they didn't know that I was out partying, chasing women, doing all this stuff, right? And I was hiding, but I didn't really have an identity. I was changing who I was based on the situation. That's number one. Right. Number two is identity is the thing in life that gives you value and self-worth. Value and self-worth. And humans desperately need value. We know that we're valuable, but we just can't find it. And so we'd look and we'd do all these things. We join fraternities and sororities and sports teams and get majors and go hang out with certain people, because we hope that one day we can actually have self-worth and value. So identity is very important. It's tied to those two things. It's something about you that does not change. It's who you are, right? And it's also something that gives you value or self-worth. And I believe the root of confidence comes from identity. I believe you can't be truly confident unless you know exactly who your identity comes from. And so we're going to look at this thing called identity formation, or how your identity is formed. And like I said before, every culture is pushing identity upon you, right? Whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're Hispanic, whether you're Asian, your culture is pushing an identity on you, right? Social media, when you see certain trends and certain things, there's an unspoken identity being pushed upon you that says, if you embrace me, if you become like me, you will be happy and you'll be confident, right? And some of these are very in your face. Some of these are unspoken. It's like an unwritten, invisible expectation upon your life. And every culture does it. And I'll tell you this. I searched the entire world, ladies and gentlemen. I've been to a group in New Zealand, went to school in Hawaii, went to school in Houston, traveled all over, searching, really longing for identity, to be someone that doesn't change, that is true to myself and is true to what God created me to be, and someone who really has value and self-worth, not based on what girls would say about me, what coaches would say about me, what my parents would say about me, but has a true self-worth and value, not based on circumstances. And I searched the world, and I finally found it in the person of Jesus. And that's who we're going to look at today. So, our main text is John 10. We're going to be in John 10, 1 through 4, and then 11 through 15. Now, we're not going to fully unpack this, okay? We're not going to go line by line, but we're going to take out three major points from this. So, John 10, starting in verse 1, it's on the overhead. It says, very truly, it's Jesus speaking, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. So here's Jesus. He's referring to himself as the good shepherd, and he's calling us sheep, which is not a compliment if you've ever been around sheep. Right, verse 11. I am the good shepherd, Jesus speaking. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing about the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So real quick, 3 points, and we'll unpack these as we go. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, number one, we or humans are sheep. He's saying, number two is you are named, or we are named by Jesus, or we need someone to name us, identify us, tell us who we are. And number three, we are redeemed. We need a redeemer. There's something wrong in the world. Stuff is not how it's supposed to be. If you walk around and just see a little bit, you will understand that the world could be awesome, but it's really not. There's a lot of great stuff, but there's a lot of terrible, terrible things. We are sheep, we are named, and we are redeemed. Now, when the Bible refers to you as sheep or me as sheep, now this is like the most common metaphor used, one of them. Like you have Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Come on, there you go. Good job, everybody. You guys get some kingdom cash, some Sunday school points. The Lord is my shepherd. When the Lord refers to us as sheep, he's not saying, oh, my little sweet pets whom I love that are innocent and pure. He's saying, you guys are so helpless that unless I'm watching you 24/7, shepherds literally had to sleep around their sheep because they could just wander off and die in the night. Let me give you a couple examples. If you bring a sheep to a stream of water that's flowing, they will naturally go approach the stream against the current. And if they put their heads, the water will actually rush up their nostril and mouth and can drown them. They're so silly. So you have to actually lead the sheep to go down away from the current so they won't drown themselves in a river. Did you know sheep will follow other sheep no matter where they go? If one sheep that's leading goes off the cliff, all the other sheep will boop, 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 fall off the cliff. Right? Sheep are not smart. They're not smart. They're actually completely dependent upon a shepherd. Right? Number two, we are named. Named, identity. I don't have time to get into how important your name is. But your name and your purpose and your plan and your destiny, it's so important. It talks about your value, your worth. We need a redeemer. Now, Western culture, which is what we live in, American culture, hates this idea. No, not yet, not yet. Completely rejects this idea, right? If you go to any school or talk to anyone who doesn't have a biblical worldview or understanding, they say, nobody can name me. I'm nobody's sheep. I sure don't need a shepherd. And I can redeem myself with what I do. And they may not say it like that, but you watch any movie now that's not like a faith-based movie, that is the underlying message. That no one defines me. I do what I want. I decide my gender. I decide my pronouns. I decide my job. I decide my this. I decide what I wear. I decide where I go to school. I decide everything about me. And if you try to stop me, you do you. I'm going to do me. See you later. That's the culture we live in. Right? And so the Bible is totally against what you're probably hearing and feeling in culture. And just because you go to church, have been to church, are saved, praise God, does not mean that you are walking in this biblical view of identity. And so maybe if you're a Christian here today and you're saying, I'm not confident in my identity, I have never shared the gospel with anyone. When people talk about religion, I may invite them to church and slip out. Right? Maybe it's because you're not walking in the biblical identity that God has for you. You're not confident in it. Maybe you've taken on some of the other identity formations or how you get identity. So let's look at some of those. So the first one we're going to look at is a traditional or ancient identity formation. Traditional or ancient identity formation. Now, who here has grown up in a non-American household. I know we have a lot of Haitian students, Filipino students. Okay, so you are probably more familiar with this. In a traditional identity formation, you get your identity, your value, based on your duties. Whether you're a son, you're a daughter, you're a husband, you're a wife, you're a mother, you're a grandmother, what you do with your tribe, with your people, with what your role is, that's where your identity comes from, right? That's a traditional identity formation. Now, some of that is really, really good. We need more of that in America. Some of it, we just like kick that out, and almost every Disney movie is totally against this, right? But this is a traditional identity formation. Now, this has strengths, but it has a lot of weaknesses too. Because in a traditional identity formation, a lot of times the men in the tribe, the men in the community, the men in the culture will get elevated to places of honor. And women and children may get pushed to the side because they're not doing as much honorable things. Okay, we've all experienced this before, right? So it is good in some ways, but it can be crushing in other ways. Okay? There's good, but there's also bad. An example is like in a traditional Korean culture. They actually introduce themselves by their last name, their family name first. So I would introduce myself as Do Ben, not Ben Do, right? Because all of my identity does not come from who I am individually. It comes from who we are as a community. And there's a part of that that God loves, the we, that it's us, it's not about me. That's a great part, but it can also be very crushing. An example of this is, I don't know if you guys have seen the cartoon Mulan. It's my favorite Disney movie of all time. Yeah, good job. It's my favorite, not the live action one, stinks. Never watch it, terrible, awful, terrible. But the Disney one, the cartoon one, is great. And you see here the battle between Mulan's father, he gets the call to war, and every household in China must give a man to fight in the army, right? And I watched it this morning, not the whole movie, just this clip. Just one clip. And he's got a crutch, and he can barely walk, but he walks forward, and the honor is that he gets to fight for his family. And the Mulan comes in and wants to, like, no, he's injured. It's the whole Disney bull crap, sorry. It's just, yeah, strike that from the record. But anyway, his honor comes from doing what he's supposed to do. It's not about me and my injuries. It's about we, right? And so you see this in a lot of traditional cultures, which is beautiful and wonderful. But it says you are your duties. A great poem came to mind when I was prepping this sermon. By Sir Alfred Tennyson about the charge of the Light Brigade. And I'm going to read a part from it. It says, it's talking about the soldiers. It says, theirs was not to make reply. Theirs was not to reason why. Theirs was to do and die. Into the valley of death rode the 600. And Sir Alfred Tennyson was writing about these noble, brave Light Brigade of cavalry charged this group of cannons and pretty much all died. Right? And he was saying how noble that they gave their lives for king and country and how amazing that is. But if you look at the history, they actually got the wrong order. They weren't supposed to charge that group of cannons. They were supposed to charge a different group. So a messed up order in Greece, and they were English soldiers fighting the Russians in Greece. You figure that one out. They got a messed up order and they ended up dying. And so you see that there's this pride of we do what's best for the tribe or the nation. But then you see the stupidity of we're fighting over land and money and resources for someone else, and I'm fighting on an international soil, and it doesn't really matter. So that is a perfect illustration of sometimes it is noble to fight. We have to fight to protect what God has given us. But sometimes we can, in the name of our traditional identity, just hold on to things that God does not want us to hold on to. Are you seeing this here? Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not anti-military. I'm pro-military. What I'm saying is sometimes we hold on to identity and culture even though it's running us into the ground. The other version, this is the version we see more today, is called modern Western identity formation. Modern Western identity formation. And Robert Bella, in the books, The Habits of the Heart, he calls it expressive individualism. Expressive individualism. And he defines it, he says, expressive individualism holds that each person has a unique core of feeling and intuition that should unfold or be expressed if individuality is supposed to be realized. Okay, this is how I would explain it. Only you can tell you what to do, right? This you've probably heard. Your heart is your guide, right? You have the key to your own destiny. You just have to look down inside of you, and the answer is inside of you, right? That's what we're getting fed, right? And that's, you watch most movies, I'm so sick of it, you'll get to the point where the hero's going through life and all they're doing is battling their own desires. I really want to get married, but I really want a job. So I have to fight these desires. And that's the battle, rather than good versus evil. It's like, oh yeah, it's like a Hallmark, exactly. The main woman in the movie, typically she's, I want my career, but I also want to marry this person. And I'm not going to give up either of them, so he's got to give up both for me. It's every Hallmark in the world. Okay. So, and at the core of this is it's rebellion. It's no one can name me. I'm nobody's sheep. I don't need a shepherd, and I don't need to be redeemed. And I am going to define my own destiny. Now, okay, this also has a lot of positives. Okay? That's the American dream, where a lot of people have come to America and they've made it big. They came from nothing and now they're rich, millionaires, affluent, and they've given their kids a brand new life. That's noble. That's great. We shouldn't be held down by society. We should be given the opportunities and freedoms to earn and expand and create the way God created us to. But it's also crushing. I mean, I know you guys feel this, but have you ever thought about, I have to pick my career and then I have to go achieve it to be happy? That is so hard to do. Like if you tell a little kid, like, I want to be an astronaut. Oh my gosh, good luck. Right? And they put their happiness in that. There are so few astronauts. I don't know if you've done the research. There's not many astronauts, right? Or I want to be a successful athlete, right? That's the world I grew up in. We want to be a successful athlete, and I'll be happy. My identity will be complete when I make it to the pros, when I make millions of dollars, all this stuff. I couldn't do it. I'm not good enough, okay? But if my identity was in that, that would have crushed me. That would have crushed me. And so this modern Western identity formation of how you get your identity, it sounds good, but it's ultimately impossible. And even if you look at the most successful people, they will eventually say, the burden of performance crushed me. And I was happy, but I have to keep on doing things and performing because I never arrive. And this is the crazy thing. If you follow your heart, you don't know where to go because your desires change and they contradict. Right? I want to diet and eat Krispy Kremes at the same time. How do I follow my heart? Right? Come on now. Does that make sense? So our identity, our emotions, our desires, our what we want, they change all the time. And once you decide what you really want, getting it's almost impossible. And then once you get it, that's even more depressing because it never makes you happy. And this is why you see in America and other Western nations that people chase body image because they think that'll make them happy. Or they chase money, or they chase relationships, or they chase sexual experiences or vacations because that will make me happy, right? And it doesn't. It doesn't make you happy because you'll get that thing and you're still empty. And you need more, and you need more, and you need more. And the example of this, another Disney example for all you out there, is Beauty and the Beast, right? It's top three Disney movies, not number three. Number two. Mulan and Beauty and the Beast. So Beauty and the Beast, you have Belle. She's the inventor's daughter, right? All of society is like, what about that Belle? She's so quirky, she's so crazy. And Belle's just dancing around. It's like, I wanted great adventure in the great outdoors, you know? And she, I thought about singing. I'm not gonna sing. But she wants adventure and she wants someone to understand. No, I'm not going to say. But the point is that she's pushing off that medieval French culture to say, I want to read and I want to do whatever I want to do. And I just want someone who accepts me for doing whatever I want to do. And it's this perfect Western, this modern culture formation that she'll be happy when she can do whatever she wants to do. And almost all Disney princess movies are like this. You have Ariel, doesn't want to be a mermaid, you know. Everyone doesn't want, you know, Peter Pan doesn't want to grow up, you know. Everyone doesn't want to be what they're supposed to be. They don't want their identity to be about what they do. They want to be about their dreams and their desires. And it's exciting, but it doesn't actually give you anything. And yeah, most Disney movies are thinly veiled criticisms of traditional culture and Christianity, really. But the Western view says you are your dreams, your desires, and your choices. And my quote, my poem for this worldview is, it's climb every mountain, ford every stream, follow every rainbow until you find your dream. Sound of Music. And there's another Disney movie where literally the head of the convent, the top nun, I don't know what the title is, the mother nun, the mother superior. The mother superior is literally telling one of her other nuns, Maria, leave your vows, leave the convent. You have to find your own identity. God can't make you happy. The church can't make you happy. A life of serving others can't make you happy. Go chase rainbows in the mountains. That's what Sound of Music's about. Seriously. That's terrible. That's awful. That's the worst advice. Renounce your vows to God. They mean nothing. Both are crushing. Desires change. Now, you can be a born-again, Bible-believing, tongue-talking Christian and still fall into one of these identity formation traps. You can be a Christian, but you still get your identity from how good of a son or daughter you are. You can still be a Christian and get your identity from what your GPA is. Come on now. Come on. Now, GPA is important. You need to get 4.0s. Everybody in here gets a 4.0. Right? But if that's your identity, it's crushing. It's crushing. Because life happens. Right? Some of y'all don't know God, have never, you know, never experienced God, don't have a relationship with him. That's fine. And you're probably for the first time thinking, wow, this is making a lot of sense. I've been trying to get my identity from my family, from my culture, or from just following my own inner desires, and they're both bad. But there's a trap here, and I fight this trap all the time. Am I going to get my identity from being a good husband, being a good pastor, or following my own hobbies and desires, or working out a lot, or whatever? And I have to go back to the core, is that Jesus has to be my shepherd, and he has to lead me. And at the end of the day, I am a sheep. That's right. That's grammatically correct. I am a sheep. 1 John 3:1-3 says this: see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. You see, Jesus calls us sheep, but he also calls us children of God, which is an amazing concept. Because the truth is, a lot of us don't come from great cultures. A lot of us don't come from great families. A lot of us have never done anything worthwhile that we can have a poster or a trophy or a certificate. A lot of us have really had tough lives and really barely made it through. And Jesus says, hey, guess what? I'm your shepherd and you're a child of God. And that's good news, because he's forming your identity right there. He says, the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him or Jesus. Beloved, he says, I love you. We are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Jesus is saying, listen, not only are you my kids and I love you, but I'm coming back in a resurrected body and y'all are going to resurrect too. And all the defects and things you hate are going to be gone, and you are going to be perfect in my image, and it's going to be amazing. It's not yet, but it's coming. Because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. We're not just sheep, we're children of God, and we're named. And the reason we purify ourselves and we try to be good and we try to be good fathers and mothers and we try to get 4.0s and get great jobs and be doctors and lawyers and all this stuff, the reason we try to grow our church and we try to make disciples is not because that's my identity. It's because my identity has been formed by Jesus, I can purify myself and help others. Because I'm a child of God and I want other people to be children of God. If you've ever heard anyone share the gospel to you or talk to you about God, you'll either feel typically two things. One is, I am a performer. You need to perform like me. You need to come to my church, do what I do, do this, do this, do this. Or you'll hear this message. I was a sinner saved by grace, and you can be saved too. And you can hear about it at this service, or I'll tell you about it right now. Right? But do you see the difference here? I remember when I was, I think, 25, I got done with my master's degree. I graduated. I was done with football. I didn't even try out. I didn't even go to my tryout day for the NFL because I was like, you know what? I'm so injured. I'm so hurt. I'm so done with football. And I was so depressed. My girlfriend broke up with me. It was bad. I was, you know, it's cool to be 300 pounds when you're playing football. Afterwards, it's not great. I had high blood pressure, and I was bad, guys. It was bad. And I was so depressed because my identity was on football. And it was on what people thought of me. And I realized after you graduate, no one really cares that you play football. Zero. Zero people care, right? I mean, even you guys are nice. You'll be like, oh, that's great. Good job, Ben. But you don't care, right? And I don't really care either, okay? Because it's so shallow, it doesn't even matter. Right, but I was so depressed, I was so sad, and I remember I was sitting around the breakfast table with Abigail Grace Dew and Renee Arnold Dew, my mother, and we were praying for someone, and the Lord convicted me and said, Ben, you've been putting your identity in all these other things, and I want you to come clean and confess all of your sin. And I was like, well, to my mom and little sister, like, you know what I mean? Can I go to, like, a priest or something, or... Can I mail it in, you know? And I remember I confessed my sin, and I really told them who I really was. I was really honest with myself and with them. And I remember I've never, ever felt the love of God like I did, and I felt like a sheep. That finally realized he was a sheep and was now being held by the kindest, sweetest shepherd of all time. And I remember feeling like, wow, Jesus loves me, not because I've done anything, because he's amazing. And that made me want to love him even more, because Jesus was my shepherd. And I remember I started to let him identify me. And he used to tell me things. I feel God's presence every day. He used to tell me stuff like, I'm proud of you. I love you. So you're a leader. You're going to preach in front of crowds. You're going to lead people to Jesus. And I was borderline addicted to alcohol, addicted to porn, addicted to lust, addicted to my own selfishness, depressed, anxious. And Jesus was defining me with all these things. I said, wait a second. And I realized now he was forming my identity in my brokenness. And there's a huge lie that you have to get it figured out. You have to be something before you come to God, but that's not true. You come broken, and the good shepherd will heal you and make you what he wants you to be. But if you don't lay down and say, I'm willing to be a sheep and I'm willing to be named, it'll never happen. And there's some people who might say, I'm willing to be a sheep, but you can't name me. Or I'll be a sheep on Sunday and Wednesday night and three times a week for devotional, but I will never be a sheep when I want to be what I want to be. We have to be sheep. We've got to be named. And really the most important thing of this whole message is this, is that the only reason I can or you can lay down your life and say, I'll be a sheep, I'll be named, is because the shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. Because we're redeemed. Because I get to get rid of everything that I did to try to get my own identity. Everything that all the sin, all the mistakes, all the people I've messed with and teased and mocked and abused and all that crazy stuff, I get to push that away and I get to say, Jesus, I'm your sheep. You get to define me now. And you can only do that if the shepherd's really good, right? If anyone else besides Jesus wants to be the Lord of your life, you should run the other way. Run the other way. But when Jesus comes knocking, you should look at his track record, look at what he's done for you and say, hey, this is a great deal. This is what I want to do. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The truth is, you can only have confident identity is when it's in what Jesus has done for you, in what the shepherd did. He laid his life down for the sheep. He was talking to the Pharisees when Jesus said in John 10, he said, listen, all these other leaders, they'll run away when times get tough, right? You'll see this when a country normally gets overthrown, the president gets on his private jet and goes to another nation. When Jesus's disciples, when the people needed him, he died for them. He volunteered. He said, I'm here. I'm going to take the penalty. He even said, I'm going to come from heaven. I'm going to become a man. I'm going to walk among people. And I'm going to die for you and for me. And Jesus doesn't want to control you. He doesn't want to hurt you. He doesn't want to treat you like sheep and treat you like the beast that we really are. I'm really a beast. I'm very beastly. No, but like my personality, like if I'm left to myself, I'm not a good person. And Jesus doesn't treat me like who I really am. He redefines me. He renames me. He calls me a son. He calls me strong. He gives me a destiny. He gives me a purpose. He forgives my sins. And if he can forgive me, he can forgive you. But I was in church for 25 years and I did not receive it until I said, Jesus, I will be a sheep and you must be my shepherd. That's when I received this. So, in conclusion, how do I live a confident life? The life of confident identity is one. We must be sheep and follow the shepherd. Now, today you may have to say, you know what? Today's day one. I'm going to humble myself. I'm no longer going to get my own identity. I'm not going to define myself by my traditional senses or by modern Western. I'm going to let Jesus define me. But you got to do this today. And then also you got to do it every day. I have to do this every single day. God, I'm waking up. What do you want me to do today? You want me to read the Bible? I'm going to read the Bible. You want me to be nice to people? I'm going to be nice to people. Right? Be a sheep and follow the shepherd daily. Number two, you got to let Jesus name you and accept the identity he gives. This is really hard. This is really difficult because Jesus' identity for you is a lot different than your own identity for yourself many times. And the devil's going to lie to you and say it's worse. He's going to control you. He doesn't love you. But the truth is Jesus' identity is way better, way better. I wanted to play professional football. The Lord wanted me to be a pastor. And this is the best job in the world for me because it's what God wanted me to do. It's what I was born to do, right? And so many of you are fighting what you were born to do because you're chasing what you want to do. And God has a destiny for each person in here. And you just have to embrace and say, God, my identity is in you, not what I do. So just lead me and tell me what to do and I'll do it. But you got to do that daily, right? And there are certain times where we're all tempted where I can do something that I know will make me happy short term, but I know it's not who God has called me to be, right? I could probably get away with this, right? I could probably take that job. I could probably date that person. I could probably, you know, do this thing in work and I probably get away with it, right? Or I probably don't have to read my Bible every day. I don't have to tell my friends about Jesus. I don't really have to really think about my life and look at every area of my heart that's not serving him. But the truth is, until you say, God, I want you to define me and name me in every area of my life, every day, that's where true confident identity comes from. Jesus must name you. Number three, you must walk in the freedom of what Jesus did for you on the cross. And this is crazy because I meet a lot of people who are ashamed of what Jesus did for you. You're ashamed. And it's almost like you don't want the identity that Jesus has for you. And some of it, it's out of ignorance that you really don't know. Some of it's out of arrogance. Then God, I wanted you to wipe my slate clean. I want no sin, but I'll take it from here. Right? I want to still define myself. And the truth is that we have to walk in the freedom that when if Jesus really died for you and he really loves you and he really said that through faith you can be saved, redeemed, and a child of God and have a destiny and do amazing things on this earth, you need to walk in that freedom no matter what anybody says, no matter what the culture says, your friends say, even your own internal dialogue. I have to shut that down sometimes and say, I'm going to walk in the freedom of who God made me to be. Right? Because I don't feel like being a child of God all the time. Right? But I have to walk in that. And it's hard. It's super hard. And some of y'all know what I'm talking about. If you've served the Lord for over a week, you know. It's hard. Today, I don't really want to be a child of God. I want to just kind of blend in. You know? But God has not called that for us. So some of us in here, if you're hearing this for the first time, you may have been rejected Jesus out of ignorance or out of arrogance. But today's the day. You need to get right with the Lord. You need to say, bye-bye, I'm going to be a sheep. You're my shepherd. All right? Today's the day. Bye-bye. And some of you have said, you know what? I do love the Lord. I go to church. I'm really honestly trying to serve him. And I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. But I still get my identity from what I do. Or who I am, or the clothes I wear, or the job I have, or the people I date, or my friends, or my hobbies, or whatever. And so I'm going to pray two prayers. And so if I could have the pianist, my lovely wife, come up, the cutest pregnant lady in the world. So I'm going to pray for two groups. And if you feel like this is you, we're going to do, I'll lead you and guide you, but we'll start praying. So this first prayer is going to be, if you really feel like, you know what, I'm not a sheep. I want to be. I've just maybe just heard about it, but today's the day. I need to be a sheep. I need the good shepherd. So let's just close our eyes. And so if that's you, if you feel like, Ben, what you've been saying, you've been talking to me, and maybe I've grown up in church, and maybe I've, you know, tried to be a good person. I've tried to do religious things. And even today coming to church, I'm really trying to do what's right, but I know in the bottom of my heart that if I died tonight, that I wouldn't be a sheep, I'd be a goat. I wouldn't go to heaven, I'd probably go to hell if it's based on what I've done. And so if that's you, I'm going to pray for you, and I want you just to kind of repeat after me under your breath, and I'm not trying to embarrass you, but just say it so God can hear. But just say, Jesus, I repent for being my own shepherd and trying to not be a sheep and name myself and do all the things that I want to do. I repent for living in rebellion, and even out of arrogance or ignorance, I just repent for not obeying you. And Jesus, I not just want you, I need you to be my shepherd. I need you to redeem me. And I've done some things in my life that are sinful and bad. I know that they're wrong. And Jesus, I'm asking that you would forgive me, and that what you did on the cross, that I could receive that grace here today. And in faith, Lord, I'm asking that you would be my Lord and Savior, and that you would be my shepherd, and that you would redeem me right now. And I repent of my sins, and I promise to follow you all the days of my life, and I ask that you would restore my heart. Give me a fresh heart. Give me your Holy Spirit so I can obey, and I want to obey you. And I don't do this out of compulsion or out of guilt, but I do this because I really want to have a relationship with you, Jesus. If you prayed that prayer, I just want, with your eyes, everyone's eyes still closed, if you prayed that prayer, you don't have to put your hand up, just look at me real quick so I kind of see. Prayed that prayer. Okay. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. All right, you can look back down. Lord, thank you for all these people, Father. I pray that you would minister to them, that you would change their hearts. Lord, this wouldn't just be another religious service where they just pray a prayer and then go on living like everything else they've ever done. They just go back to normal. But Lord, that this would be the moment that they actually get saved and they would change, and that you would change them from the inside out, and that you would minister identity to them in the name of Jesus. And if that was you that we just prayed for, I just encourage you, come see us after the service. We'd love to connect with you and talk to you and just hang out with you. The next prayer, this is for Christians who say, my identity isn't Jesus, but I don't always live that way. I kind of look for other things to satisfy me, money or jobs or parties or opportunities or food or whatever. But today I really want to get my identity from Jesus. If that's you, I want you to just pray this in your heart and say, Jesus, I just repent, Lord, for not valuing what you did for me on the cross and really looking to other things to give me identity and happiness. And Lord, I know that you've given me so much and I want to enjoy those things, but I want my identity to truly come from you and not what I do or what I experience. And Father, I repent. I just dedicate afresh my life to follow you and to get my identity by what you did for me, not what I do for you. And Lord, please forgive me from this in Jesus' name. There's also a third prayer. I think there's some people who have really struggled with the area of identity, and people have said some really nasty things about you. Maybe your parents, maybe coworkers or classmates, or maybe you've looked in the mirror and you've kind of hated the person you are, and you've done some things you're embarrassed about, or anyway, there's people in here that your identity has been so broken that you are so desperate to be loved and have value that you have given yourself away to all sorts of things. And today's the day the Lord says, I want to heal you and love you, and I want to restore you right now like the Good Shepherd. And so if that's you, I want you just to pray this prayer and say, Jesus, I receive your love right now. Jesus, I receive the identity that you have for me. And Father, I forgive all the people that have hurt me, spoken bad about me, that have used and abused me. I forgive them, Lord. And Father, I'm praying that I would feel your love right now and that you would give me a new identity as your sheep and that you would name me and I would get my value from you. If that was you, I just want to pray for you. Lord, thank you for these people. Lord, I pray you would touch them, that you would heal them, that you would be with them. Lord, that you would comfort them. Lord, that there's been some traumatic, crazy traumatic things. Lord, I pray that you would give them people in their lives they can talk to and open up about, they can get counseling with, that they can get prayer for and accountability with. And Lord, I thank you that you don't break us when we're down. You don't crush us, Lord, that you're the healer. That just like the skit showed today, as you heal people, you came to heal, not to break down and push. And so, Father, I pray that you would do a healing work in our church, Lord, that we would be people who have been so healed and so relaunched into our identity that it would show. And I pray that you would heal those people.